Welcome back to Nachi Yomi. Today we are going to be learning Mishle Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter in the book of Mishle. We're already now in the second section of Mishle, and unlike the first section where each Perek had a sort of story which was unfolding, in this section we have a lot of staccato ideas, a lot of ideas thrown out, and it's hard to string them together onto one coherent string. Let's take a look at it and try to put some of the pieces back together. There are 31 psukim in total in this section, and it seems like a number of contrasts. Let's take a look at the perek from the start. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at them in groupings of 2, 3, 4 psukim all the way through, and try to notice some of the common words shared in each of the grouping and some of the basic themes. This is a very quick survey, and then we'll focus on some specific psukim in the spotlight. So we're going to look at the first three psukim in this section. The common words which are shared in the psukim are tsunuim and yesharim. Those are people who are modest, people who are straight and honest about their business. And the general theme is integrity. Integrity will lead a person to the right end. Hashem hates mozne mirma, the scales of dishonesty. Hashem wants the even shlema, the way the stones that are complete, meaning when a person is doing their weights, it should be complete. And ultimately, will reward them in the like way. We move on to the next section, which is going to be the next few psukim of Dalet to Ches. And so the words you'll notice weaving their way through here are the words tzedakah or tzidkas, the word rasha, evil, and the word tatzil, to save. Those are some of the words which form this specific tapestry. And the theme over here is that wealth will not help a person on the day of anger. The way he says it is that lo yoil hon b'yom evra, but tzedakah tatzil mimaves, but righteousness, generosity, will save a person from death. We saw this pasuk in the previous perek as well. He describes even further how righteousness will straighten the path to avoid the day of anger. It will save a person from that. And when a person dies, all hope is lost if the person is a rasha, but when there's a tzaddik, the tzaddik will be saved from that. That's the general theme over here. This could naturally follow on from the previous section where the description was a person who's cheating, a person who's dishonest. Why is a person dishonest? Because they want more money. Why do they want more money? Well, they think it's going to bring them more happiness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is assuring through this wisdom over here that ultimately wealth will not be happiness. Move on to the next general section, which is Test to Yud Gimel. Again, this is a very brief survey. Some of the common words you'll see in these sentences are the words Yesharim and Tzadikim, the straight ones, the righteous ones, Rishaim, the evil ones, contrasting them, and the idea of Yacharish, or Machase Davar, hiding things. We seem to move to the theme over here, the power of speech. The power of speech is expressed for the good and the bad. So on the bad side, we have flattery. We also have the power of bracha, are blessing others. On the bad side, boz l're'ehu, person who embarrasses others. On the good side is yacharish or machaseh davar, a person who hides things and doesn't reveal everything they hear, as opposed to a rachil, a person who is a talebearer. So the power of speech, and this is very much in the social realm, a person as they relate to their society, their friends, their neighbors, and their family, is being discussed in this mini section. The next mini section runs from Yudalad to Yudzayin, 14 to 17, and the general idea over here is and chesed, the importance of planning and the importance of grace in life and what that leads to in a person's life and how that will impact themselves. The next little section is the couplet of your ches and your tes. The word that surrounds both of them is tzedakah, person who invests in charity. We move to the next micro section, chof to chof dalet, 20 to 24. In this section, the general theme is intellectual honesty and passion. What does a person really care about? What does a person really want to do, and is a person being honest about what they're doing? We move into the next micro section. This is a couplet of Chof Hei to Chof Vav, 25 to 26. And the general argument over here is that generosity brings happiness while stinginess brings curses. You think you're gaining because you're holding things back. It's not going to help you. People will curse you. You'll end up in a bad place. The next couplet, Chof Zayin to Chof Ches, is the ideas are honesty begets reward and evil begets evil. You want to follow evil things, you'll find more evil things and they'll find you. And finally, the last three psukim, Chof Tes to Lamed Aleph, the themes seem to be the word Chacham and Tzaddik, the idea of the righteous person, the wise person. The theme is that everyone will get their due ends in the end. You want to invest in a life where you care about people, where you look at wisdom, you'll get the reward. You don't want to do that, you're not going to get that. That seems to be the general theme. As you can see, these are very many different ideas over here. There does seem to be a theme of honesty, which is winding its way through this parak. But not all ideas run necessarily from one another. They seem to be staccato ideas. The Da'at Mikra does point out in the commentary that almost every pasuk over here is a contrast, which means that we're contrasting good and evil in each pasuk, except for Psukim Zayin, Chof Beis, and Lamed. These are the, and Chofei, these are the only ones which do not have a contradiction within each of the Psukim, a contrast between the different sides of good and bad. Let's look at a few famous Psukim. We're going to look at three Psukim to focus on today. And these are really, again, just to whet the appetite, to remind one that there's so much more. One really could take every Pasuk and unpack it, and therefore this is just to start the process. First of all, Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis is, Boz l'ra'eyu chasar lev v'ish tevuna es yachrish. That a person who embarrasses their friend, who disgraces them, is considered lacking of heart, and a person who is ish tevunos, a person of deep understanding, will keep quiet. Rashi, right over here in Mishlei, explains that this is actually a biographical description of the life of Shaul HaMelech, because it relates to a pasuk which is found in Shmuel Aleph, at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, where it describes the following. Here's how the pasuk goes. It's when Shaul HaMelech is just made into king by Shmuel, and he comes back, and people are not expecting him to be the king. They didn't think it would be from this tribe. They didn't think he, because of his humility, would be the king. And although many people accept Shaul as the king, there are many people who do not. And the pasuk says, "Ubnei Bli'ail Amru," there were evil people who said, "Ma Yoshein was there? Who's this to save us? Who's this Shaul person who's going to be our king?" Vayavazuhu, and they embarrassed him. V'lo hevi'lo mincha, and they didn't bring him the sort of the tribute that they would to, that everybody else is bringing to the king. Vayikamacharish, and Shaul HaMelech was silent. Rashi notes that the two verbs in the sentence, or the two verbs in the sentence in Mishlei, which is Boz and Macharish, that they were the ones who were disgracing him, and he was the one who was silent. Therefore, the argument is that the Mishlei is a commentary on that episode. The people who are Boz l'ra'eyu are chasar lev, they're lacking heart. And the person who's quiet is ish tevunos, is a man of knowledge. Therefore, Shaul HaMelech gets the accolades. What is fascinating is to contrast this to the Gemara in Yuma, Tchof Beis and Beis, which describes in the Neri Yehuda Merav, that why was Shaul punished? Why did Shaul HaMelech have an early demise? And one of the reasons is because he was kamacharish. He did not take on the revenge of these people that he should have rightfully done. When contrasting this Gemara to Rashi, it seems very strange, because Rashi certainly knows the Gemara in Yuma, but the Gemara in Yuma seems to see this as a negative thing, whereas Rashi is saying it is a positive thing that Shaul was kept quiet. And this perhaps could relate to two different dimensions of Shaul's personality. On the one hand, he was a citizen, and on the other hand, he was a king. As a citizen, as a normal person, we should all be encouraged to be like Shaul HaMelech, and be when people annoy us, not to respond, not to retaliate, not to be visceral in our response. However, when it comes to a king cannot simply waive those privileges, and therefore must respond in like, because of the office he represents. And that's what Rashi and the Gemara are conveying to us. Again, what seems to be a very simple pasuk in Mishlei is a much deeper pasuk in the history of Klal Yisrael. Another example, pasuk Yud Gimel, the next pasuk, Holech Rachil Magal Esod, V'neman Ruach V'chaseh Davar. A person who is a talebearer will reveal secrets, and a person who's ne'eman ruach, a person of faithful spirit, will cover up matters. The Malbim says this is a basic idea, and that is that if you're the kind of person who trades ideas, ideas are your currency, news items are your currency, news is your currency, you will ultimately betray people. You'll end up going around and betraying the confidence of other people. Even if people don't tell you necessarily to hide it, you will ultimately end up hurting people, because you always trade news. The Ralbag takes it one step further, and he says it might be referring not to just news items, but it may be referring to ideas which should remain secret. There are certain Kabbalistic ideas, there are certain intellectual ideas, which are important for only people who are of a level of understanding to appreciate them, to know them. And therefore, if you put that and you publicize and you market those ideas to the uninitiated masses, you are actually doing a disservice to those ideas in the first place. It is not going to be good for them or for the idea. And finally, one last pasuk that we're going to look at today, and that is pasuk Chof Beis, Nezem Zohav Ba'af Chazir Isha Yofa V'Soras Ta'am. This is referring to the idea of a golden ring which is in the nose of a pig, and a beautiful woman bereft of sense. And the Mishnah in Perek Avos at the very end, Perek Vov, it quotes this in the name of Yeshua ben Nevi, and it talks about every day that people do not learn Torah, there is a voice which emanates from Har Chorev, which is Mount Sinai, which says, "O Elohim Labrias me Elbono Shel Torah." Woe to those who do not take heed of the the insult of the Torah, the lacking of appreciation of the Torah, and it quotes this pasuk. So what does that mean? It's referring to a person who's not learning Torah. So the Medrash Shmuel is one of the commentaries on the Maseches Avos. Has a very fascinating insight. He says, if you think about it, what's being conveyed in this pasuk is a very simple idea, and that is the woman in this pasuk, Eisha Yofar Saras Tam, a beautiful woman lacking any sense, is referring to the neshama. Is referring to the pure spirit that is endowed into every human being, which is often captured in a female form, so to speak. Neshama is a female word. It is described as a beautiful woman who's bereft of sense because she's put into this body, into this space, into this very difficult place, which doesn't appreciate the beauty. There's a body which wants other things, which wants things which are not befitting of such beauty. You have a beautiful golden ring, and it's worthy of being on the hand and the fingers of nobility, and yet it is in the nose of a pig. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down spiritual ideas to this world, and those spiritual ideas are treated as mundane and are marketed and are seen as consumer goods rather than understood for the depth of what they truly are. And it is therefore that's the voice that leaves Har Sinai every day for the Elbono Shel Torah, the insult to the Torah that is not appreciated to the degree it should and could be. With this closes just the opening of how much more we have to learn from this perek. We'll stop here. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.